Our parashah is parashat Re'eh. There's a lot of mitzvot in the parashah. I came to talk about one of them, a very popular one, as a matter of fact. What I'm reading is from Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Zayin, 15:7. Ki yehye becha ebyon. מאחד אחיך ואחד שעריך והצחה של אדומי אלוהיך נותן לך לא תאמץ את לבבך ולא תקפוץ את ידך מאחיך אביון כי בתוח תפתח את ידך לו. If there will be among you a needy man from among one of your brothers within one of your gates in the land that God your God is giving you, you shall not make your heart unfeeling and not close up your hand to your brother, the needy man. Rather, you shall open up your hand to him, and you shall also lend him sufficient for his need. So this is the mitzvah of tzedakah. The Torah clearly tells us as Jews, we're obligated to tend to the needs of the needy, or the underprivileged, or those that have certain deficiencies. So those that have a responsibility to see the needs of the have-not. The mitzvah of tzedakah. The mitzvah of tzedakah is so great that Shlomo HaMelech reminds us of its reward when he said, "Utzdakah tatzil mimavet." That tzedakah itself saves a person from death. I once had a question. Normally, we don't start a pasuk with a vav. Utzdakah tatzil mimavet is a vav. It should say tzedakah tatzil mimavet. What does it mean, utzdakah? What is the extra vav? So, we explained it based on the following understanding. There is a midrash in Kohelet. I know you probably heard this, but now I'm showing you the source. It's in Kohelet, midrash perek he. It says, "Kasher tani b'shem Rabbi Meir, kishadam ba la'olam." When a person is born, yadav hen kifutzot. You ever see a child when he's born, a boy or a girl, it's the same thing. The hands are closed. The hands are clenched. Why? Kilomar, kol ha'olam kulo sheli, ve'ani nohado. There's a certain yetzer hara when a child is born, that he has a very aggressive attitude that he wants to conquer the world. The Gemara says actually the Yetzer Hara comes into a person at the time that he's born. He doesn't get the Yetzer Hara until he's bar mitzvah, 13 years later. The bar mitzvah actually is the celebration of when he gets the Yetzer Hara. That's why they make a disco party. Appropriate, the day that he gets a Yetzer HaTov, so they make a party. They bring pinball machines, and they bring all sorts of amusements. If they would only know what the bar mitzvah is, one rabbi walked into a bar mitzvah, and he saw all these antics going on. In Arabic, when something is outside, they say barra, it's outside. So he said, this is not barra mitzvah, this is barra mitzvah. The mitzvah is outside. The mitzvah is not here, it left, barra. Anyway, when a child is born, there's Yetzer Hara. That's why maybe you heard a different Gemara. The Gemara says that when a child is born, an angel comes and makes a little mark under his nose, the clef. And it says that clef is like a delete button. The child who studied the whole Torah in his mother's womb, at that point forgets it. I saw that malach that does that is the Yetzer Hara. Of course, because the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to remember your learning. So therefore, he makes you forget. Not only does he make you forget, but he wants to put in the child from when he's born a bad trait. One of the worst traits that a person could have is miserliness. In Hebrew they call that kamsar. That's somebody that's he's cheapskate, we used to say in school. He's a tightwad. He doesn't know how to open his hands. So when the child is born, the Yetzirah already puts in the child this nature of wanting to hold on to everything. Although the child doesn't own anything. He's a poor person, the child. He needs the milk of his mother. He needs the mercy of others. But already the Yetzirah says, one day you'll make money. So the Yetzirah already is telling him, hold on to it. Hold on to it. The Torah is telling you that this is happening at the time of birth. רבי מאיר אומר, כשאדם בא לעולם, ידיו הן כפוצות. כלומר, כל העולם כולו שלי. Now, you must know that a person wanting to hold on to his assets, that is already the foundation. That is the first bad trait that comes into a child. You know, as he gets older, he picks up other bad traits. But the first trait that he picks up from when he's born is already miserliness. That's why one has to fight to overcome it, because that's the first bad trait that entered his system. But then the Gemara reminds us, "Ukshehu neftar min ha'olam yadav hem peshutot." But when a person passes away, so the Chevra Kadisha has to make all the preparations before they bury him. And one of the last things they do is, of course, they close his eyes and then they open his hands. A person always is buried with his hands opened. And the Midrash says there's a reason for that. Kelomar lo nahalti min ha'olam hazeh klum. That I didn't take anything with me. My hands are empty. So that's what we call in English full circle. When the child was born, he said, I'm going to take everything. And then 120 years later, they open his hands and say, what did you take? You have nothing to show. You have zero. You didn't take anything with you. As a matter of fact, even the shrouds that they put on the person, there's no pockets in the shrouds. And the rabbis say, why is there no pockets? Because there's nothing that you could take with you to the next world in the physical sense. The only reason why they put shrouds on the person is because when the resurrection will come, so when he gets resurrected, he'll have something that he's wearing, he'll have clothes on. The shrouds actually are a representation of the resurrection, Hayat HaBeti. But there's no need to put any money in his pocket. What is he, a soda, a Snapple? In Shemayim, there's no soda machines, there's no kiosks, there's no snacks, there's no ice cream man. So therefore, he leaves this world empty. And Shlomo HaMelech said it when he wrote to the wisest man. Sheken Shlomo Omer, Ka'asher Yatza Mebeten Immo. When Shlomo HaMelech remembers when he came out of his mother's womb, he said, "Aron yashuv lalechet kesheba umuma biyado." That I'm going to leave this world just as empty as when I came in this world. Of course, he means in the physical sense. Mitzvot are the only things that we can transfer from this world to the next world. However, the Torah is telling us a very, very big chiddush over here. The Torah is telling us, when you're giving tzedakah, don't close your hands, but open your hands and give it to the poor person. So the rabbis asked, well, obviously, to give tzedakah, you have to open your hands. Why does the Torah have to say a double language? Don't close your hands and open your hands. Obviously, if you're not going to close your hands, you're going to open it. The Torah doesn't have to give me the detailed way to give tzedakah. Pick up the money, put it in your palm, open it. We know how to give tzedakah. Why does the Torah say in the text, "Lo tikpots et yadecha ki patoach teftach"? And the explanation I heard once from the tzaddikim, from one of the sefarim called, I think the Gaon of Vilna said it as well. The pasuk is saying, "Lo tikpots et yadecha." Don't close your hands. You know why you shouldn't close your hands? Ki patoach teftach. Because there's going to come a day when you're going to open your hands. That's the day of death. So they're telling you, don't close your hands now. Ki patoach teftach. You're going to open your hands in the future. And at that time over here, you're going to have nothing. So all the assets that you thought you're going to hoard, all that money that you thought you're going to save, all the money that you thought you're going to keep in a bank or some account somewhere, and you thought somehow you're going to benefit, one day you're going to open your hands, you're going to have nothing, then you're going to say to yourself, where's all the money that I had? And then you're going to regret that you were tight-fisted. You're going to regret that you held your hand tight and you didn't give anything, because now that money is going to stay behind you. And you're going to go to the next world and you're not going to have anything to show for it. So the Torah is reminding us, don't close your hands now, because one day you're going to open them. And that one day that you're going to open them, there's not going to be anything in it. Only the money that a person gave to the tzedakah. Well, if that's the case, we can explain this a little deeper based on the Dachamim. I once asked a big rabbi the following question. I received two answers. I like the second answer better than the first answer, but I'll tell you both. I asked him, why is it that when a person gives tzedakah, he gets saved from death? Why is it? It's an insurance policy when you give tzedakah. The day that you give tzedakah, you know you have an insurance policy. Why is that? So the first answer that he told me was as follows. Do you know that there's certain people that are alive, but the Gemara considers them as if they're dead? Because they have such a miserable existence. So it's like we call it the living dead. The Gemara gives many examples of that. God forbid, the Gemara says a blind man. He's like the living dead. He cannot see, his whole world is dark, is black. He cannot benefit from the beauty of this world. The Gemara says also, Ani Hashuv Kamet. A poor man is like a dead man. Ani Hashuv Kamet. The poor man, he has no life. He struggles to find a morsel of bread to live. Ani Hashuv Kamet. His life is miserable. So when a person gives money to the poor person, what is he actually doing? He's reviving him. He's giving him life. To the Ani, when he gets a few dollars in his pocket, now all of a sudden he has joy again. He has happiness for a few moments. So therefore, God works in measure for measure. You turned the dead into the living, and therefore God guarantees you that in the zechut of that mitzvah you will also live. Ani Hashuv Kamet. The fact that you gave money to someone that's considered like he's dead, and by giving him the money you revived him, you gave him a temporary life, he has an enjoyment of life for a few moments. So God says you'll receive a new lease on life as a result. That might explain the custom that we have, ladies. During this time of year, and now that we're entering the season of Elul, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Elul, Sunday is Rosh Chodesh, then we start the process for the high holidays. The rabbis tell us that one of the ingredients for the high holiday season is tzedakah. If we believe that it's true that on Rosh Hashanah we're being judged for life, so therefore the mitzvah of tzedakah has a tremendous power in order to tilt the scales more than any other mitzvah, which tzedakah tatzil mimavet. And that's why usually this time of year everybody starts to dip into their tzedakah funds and starts to disperse it and give it out. There's a double benefit. The poor person benefits, but the giver benefits as well. As a matter of fact, the Gemara is correct. Midrash says, more than the rich man does to the poor person does to the rich person. Because the rich person gives the poor person $100. Okay, but what does the poor man give him back? He gives him back life. And the merit that he gives him the tzedakah, he gets life itself. What's more important, $100 or life? Obviously life, at least to most people. Some people, they like $100 more than life. In any event, so that's one interpretation. But I'd like to explain to you a deeper interpretation that I heard. This in Dirash found favor in my eyes. I'll explain it to you like this. Did you ever hear, let me just say it like this, just to give you a mashal. You ever hear of the custom, before the high holidays, they make kaparot. Some of them take a chicken and they swing it around their head. And then they slaughter the chicken. What's the concept behind it? Besides the fact that there's Kabbalistic reasons behind it that you don't understand, but there's deep Kabbalistic reasons. The Arizal talked about it. But there's a simple understanding that we say to God, whatever was supposed to happen to us, let it happen to the chicken. So all the, you know, all the different things that we do to the chicken, we slaughter it, and we eventually cook it, which we burn it. So all those punishments, so to speak, that we do to the chicken, let the chicken be in our stead. Ze halifati, ze temurati, ze kaparati. We say, ze halifati, ze temurati, ze kaparati. Let this be my my exchange. Halifati, temurati, kaparati. So you see, God works like that. That you can exchange. Let this be an exchange of that. So the rabbi explained to me as follows. He said that when a person dies, as we just learned, the last thing they do is they open his hands. So whenever you see somebody lying down with his hands open, you could assume that he's dead. As long as a person's hands are closed, he's alive. But a man lying down, a lady lying down with her hands open, that's a sign of death. So we tell God the following. God, I don't want to wait until I die to open my hands. I'm opening my hands when I'm alive. So God says, you are opening your hands when you're alive, I'll save you from that event when you're gonna have to open your hands when you die. You won't die. That means, say it simpler, open your hands now so you won't have to open your hands then. That's the measure for measure. Utztakat tatzil mimavet. Let this be an exchange for that. The Torah is telling you, if you open your hands now, you'll be saved from that miserable moment. Well, they have to open your hands at the end. So therefore, you're beating the death sentence. Person can die when he's still alive. Person opens his hands and says, yes, I want to receive that exercise of opening my hands now when I'm alive. So I don't have to do it later on. Comes out according to this. The rabbis say, a big hadush. I know this is a ladies' class, but I also have an opinion, as I say many times, that I don't like to deprive you from the Divrei Torah just because you're ladies. So therefore, I'd like to tell the same Divrei Torah that I say to the men, I like to say to the ladies. Somebody tells me, you think they understand what you're talking about when you say all these deep things? And I say, you think you understand it? Just like you understand it, the ladies understand it. Sometimes they understand it even more. Well, I don't know if I ever spoke to you about that God has certain names that you're aware of. But there are other names that you're not aware of. And these names are very deep and very esoteric. And they're used for certain kavanot. For example, they're names of God that are used for fertility. That if a person wants to become fertile, there's certain names of God that are specifically used that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that shin. The name of fertility is Shin, Dalet, and Yud. That's the name that you see on the mezuzah. Anytime you see in the Torah, our forefathers were blessing their children for fertility, they use the Shem Shaddai. Ve'er Shaddai yevarech otcha v'yafrecha v'yarvecha. And there's reasons that we explained once why that name is the name of fertility. And there's names of God that are used for protection, and there's There's names of God that are used at the time of war. And there's names of God that are used, God forbid, in order to heal the sick. There's many names. As a matter of fact, I have a book that has 216 different names. Abba Kadosh Baruch Hu. Or actually 72 names that are made up of 216 letters. Each name is made up of three letters. 72 names, each one is made up of three letters. So 72 times 3 is 216. Anyway, I want to tell you today the name of Parnassah. Because I'm sure some of you want to know this. Because everybody could use more Parnassah. Everybody could use more money in their pocketbook. So it's good to know the name that's connected to Parnassah. It's actually a key. I guess if you go to the vault, you need a key to get into the vault. So there's certain names of God that allow us to access Parnassah. Now, I see that most of you are not so concerned, because if I was you, I would already take out a piece of paper and I would write. But everybody, I guess, has enough money that it doesn't concern you to write these things down. I guess if I was telling you the lotto numbers for Saturday night's lottery, you probably would write it down. But this is even better than the lottery numbers. I'm giving you over a share. That's okay, ladies. It's okay, we have natural light, it's fine. The name of God that represents Parnassah is the letters Chet, Taf, Chaf. I can say it because it's a Hebrew word, Hatach. That Shem, when one has a mind and he thinks about that name, that is a key. That's actually a master key. And when one thinks about that name, Het, Taf, and Chaf Sofit, it's able to open up the Parnassah. Now you're going to ask me, Rabbi, well, when should I think of this? Well, when you're walking in the street, when you're playing cards, when you're in the fruit store, when exactly is the proper moment to think of this name? I'll tell you when. I don't know if you ladies pray in the morning. Oh, I take that back. I'm sure you pray. I don't know exactly what you pray. Some of you pray the Amidah, some of you say Shema, some of you do more than that. But maybe some of you say the chapter in Tehillim, which is Ashrei. Ashrei, Yashrei Betecha, Odeh Lukaseh, Ashrei. That's a famous chapter. Now in that chapter is one of the most important Pesukim that has the ability to bring the Parnassah down from heaven into your pocketbooks. And that's the pasuk, Poteach et yadecha umaspia lechol hay ratzon, which means God opens his hands, and when God opens his hands, he brings down Parnassah to all of his creatures. Well, that's exactly the spot that you're supposed to think of the name Hatach. When you say Poteach et yadecha, God Almighty, open your hands and give me Parnassah. Now, how are you supposed to think of Hatach over there? Simple. Poteach. What's the last letter of Poteach? Chet. Chet. Et. The last letter of Et. Well, that's easy. There's only two letters. It's a Taf. And Yadecha is a Chaf. There's the name. There's the name of the Parnassah. There's the master key. So when you say Poteach et Yadecha, you think of the last letters, Het, Taf, Chaf. Now, just because you know this doesn't mean you're going to get your diploma in Kabbalah. You're far from being Kabbalistic. But there's no reason why you shouldn't know this, because the Bein Ishai said everybody should know this. This is like we call elementary knowledge. You know, you shouldn't think that you're going to float out of here on a flying carpet, because I taught you the name of God. But you should feel empowered that now you know that when you say Poteach et Yadecha, you know exactly what you're supposed to think of. Hatach. Poteach is the Chet, Et is the Taf, and Yadecha. Which chapter is that in Tehillim? Oh, I think 145. So you have over here, 145, you have it there? How does it start that chapter? Tehillah le David? You have it up at 145? That's it. Very good. So if you look down, scroll down in that chapter, and you'll see the pasuk poteach et yadecha. And then you'll see the kabbanah that I just told you. Now. Very good, you're reading it wonderfully. Now, yes, chapter 145, the 16th pasuk. That pasuk has that name of God in it. Now let me tell you something else about tzedakah. When a person gives tzedakah, I'm going back. Not only does tzedakah save a person from death, which is a tremendous reward for tzedakah, for the reasons that I explained to you. But when one gives tzedakah, he actually, it's a method to become wealthy. When you give, you get. I know it sounds counterintuitive. Logic says, well, if you give, you lose. But the Hakamim tell us the exact opposite. In order to get, you have to give. You know, money has many names. Even in English, you know, they call it loot, or geld, greenbacks, money, dough, different words. Benjamins now, they call it, that's the new word. Anyway, there's many names for money. Well, in Hebrew, there's also many names for money. One of the names for money is damim. 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 Now, I know you're saying, wait, doesn't damim mean blood? Well, the simple interpretation is, is that a person gives his blood for his money. You ever hear blood money? A person works and works and works in order to make money. Damim. But there's a deeper interpretation. In the olden days, this was true, but I believe it's still true today. I'm not a doctor. But in the olden days, it was very, very common where people would go and they would let blood. They would let blood out. Not donating blood to the Red Cross. They would just let blood out. In the olden days, we used to go to the barber shop. They used to have leeches. And they used to put the leech on the body, and the leech would suck out some blood. What was the medicinal value of that, of letting blood? Because in order for the body to produce new healthy blood, you have to release some of the old blood. And then the body produces fresh healthy blood. That's why they call money damim. Because you have to release some of the money that you have in order so the old money can grow and regenerate. But if you don't let some of it out, so what you have grows stale and it grows old. So it's like damim. You have to let it out. You have to release some of it in order to allow the remaining that you have behind to allow it to grow. I agree, it's counterintuitive. You know, you give, how can I give and get? But that's the rule of tzedakah. There's Kabbalistic explanations to that as well. The Arizal talks about it. You want to hear what the Arizal said? Okay, that sounds like a yes. The Arizal said that there were two people in the world, Cain and Hevel. They were one of the early people, the first people. I know in science class they talk about the cavemen. We don't believe in that so much. We believe that the early man was Cain and Hevel. And Cain, unfortunately, he got influenced by the Yetzer Hara. He brought the wrong type of sacrifice. God rejected his sacrifice. And ultimately, he killed his brother Hevel. Cain was filled with what we call the Kelipah. Kelipah means the husks. The negative energy was on Cain. Whereas Hevel was a tzaddik. Hevel's korban was accepted. As a matter of fact, the Zohar HaKadosh says the soul of Hevel would end up coming into Moshe Rabbeinu. You see Moshe Rabbeinu and his name has a He, Mem Shin He. The He of Moshe Rabbeinu's name stands for Hevel because he had the soul of Hevel. So Hevel is a great tzaddik. The Arizal said that when a person has money, the negative energy of Cain is in his money. The negative husks, the shells, the kilipot, they're in the money. How do you get those husks off? You don't want your money to have this negative energy. You know why? Because whatever you're going to do with that money then is going to have negativity. Imagine you have money that has negativity on it and you buy food with it. Now the negativity goes into the food. Now when the person eats that food, it's negative food, bad energy. So the Arizal said, the goal of tzedakah is to turn Kayin into heaven. And how do you do that? By giving tzedakah. Once you give tzedakah, it's like poof, the kripa of Kayin falls off. You now have just, it's like you put your money in the mikveh. You put your money in the mikveh now, it's pure again. That's kedusha. That pure money and good energy money brings beracha. So listen to what he said. You need to take the kelipa of Kayin off and add the kedusha of heaven. Where is this hinted? Ladies, the word tzedakah, it's only four letters. What are the last two letters of tzedakah? Kuf and the He. Kuf stands for Kayin and He stands for heaven. He says the purpose of tzedakah is tzad. You're taking the tzad, that's the tzadidavet, the tzad of the kof, and you're turning it to the head. You're taking the negative energies on the money, which is from Kayin, and you're putting it on heaven. The reason why, if I can explain it to you for a minute, why it has the negative energies of Kayin, because the reason why Kayin did not want to give a good korban, because he wanted to hold on to his money. So he gave the leftovers. He didn't give the choice. So a person who doesn't give tzedakah, his money has that negative influence of Kayin that wants to hoard his money. Whereas Hevel gave the best. Hevel gave the most choice. To Hevel, his hand was open. He didn't hold back. That's why I can explain that the goal of tzedakah is to turn the kof to a head, to turn the kayin, negative energy, into the positive energy of heaven, which is hinted in the head. Now ladies, based on what I taught you, when a person gives tzedakah, he opens his hand. When you open your hand, how many fingers does a person have? Five, that's the letter head. So the position of opening your hand also represents the head of heaven. This position over here, that you're connected to the positive energy. Well, now that you learned that when a person gives, he gets. So they forgive a lot. There was one fellow, he was a very rich man. And the more he gave, the more he got. And somebody told him, you give so much, how do you still have so much? So he said the following. He said, it seems that the more I shovel out, the more God shovels in. But it also seems that God's shovel is bigger than mine. We shovel out in a small measure, and God shovels in on a big measure. So here you learn the sikula of the day. I mean, I'm not telling you to throw away your red strings, because I know many of you, you know, have a lot of support for that. But I will tell you that you can do something even more valuable than donning a red string. Or maybe you could resign or retire your fish eyeballs and all the other accessories that you like to wear. I think you'd do much better to retiring those accessories. Just give tzedakah. What more do you want? When a person gives tzedakah, it comes back to him. So look at this, ladies. Tzedakah does two things. It saves you from death, physical death, and it gives a person wealth. Now, I mean, that's two things that are everybody's aspiration in life. Everybody wants to live and everybody wants to have money. And then you do one mitzvah called tzedakah, bing bing, you get both. You get life, ustakat tatzim b'mavet, and you also get wealth. Now when a person's wealthy, That means he's not a poor person anymore. And we said a poor person is considered that he's dead. So you're getting two forms of life. God saves you from physical death and economic death. I'll say it again. God saves you from physical death and economic death. Because when a person is poor, that's considered economic death. Now I go back to the original question that I asked. Utztaka tatzil mimavet. Well, you know what the word mimavet means? Death. It saves you from physical death. But it also saves you from economic death. Because if you look at the words utztaka, what letter does utztaka start with? Vav. Very good. Tatzil, what does it start with? Taf. Taf. Mimavet is a mem. You see the three letters? A vav, a taf, and a mem. A vav, a taf, and a mem. Well, if you boggle it, it's a mem and a vav and a taf, which is mavet. So that's the second mavet. Shlomo HaMelech is hinting to you, utztaka tatzil mimavet, physical, and the Rashi Tevot, utztaka tatzil mimavet, tells you that you get saved from economic death as well. So therefore it's a double win when a person gives the tzedakah. Based on this, we understand something else. Remember I just taught you about this holy name of God, Hatach, Het Taf Chav? Well, that's the name of God that not only brings parnasah to a person, but it also brings life to a person. Yeah, life. The Hachamim say the word Hatach actually is Hachotech Hayim Dechol Basar, that God cuts life and dispenses life to all creatures. So again, that holy name that you just learned today is for two things. It's for economic prosperity, but it's also for physical life itself. That's why, if I can go back, you remember I told you about the chicken a few minutes ago? And I said, you wave it around your head. And you say, I want life. Let God forbid the death sentence go to the chicken. Well, what do you say when you swing it around your head? I'll repeat it. Now you'll hear it differently. You say, Ze halifati, temurati, kaparati. Halifati is a head. Temurati is a taf. Kaparati is a chaf. That's why we specifically say those three words. Halifati, Temurati, Kaparati, which is Rashi Tevot, Hatach. Because here we're asking God that we want life. So therefore, when we give tzedakah, we're actually connecting to that Shem of Hatach twice. Utztakat tatzil mimavet. And that's why, ladies, if you look at the pasuk that I quoted you today, it says, Kipatoa tiftah et yadecha. Open your hands. Well, when you give tzedakah, you open your hands. If I wanted to tell you to give tzedakah, what would I say? Tiftah et yadecha. Open your hands. If I see somebody clenching his fist like this, and he says, I don't want to give. You know, we had a guy, I'll tell you a story. When I was in Magen David Yeshiva, the old Magen David, 50 Avenue V. And we had the great rabbi in seventh grade, Rabbi David Bitton, Alav Shalom. He was one of the great educators of our time. And he taught us a lot. One of the things he taught us, not in the book, but he taught us the importance of giving tzedakah. He would go around every day himself with the Magen David tzedakah box from the yeshiva. And he would impress upon us, everybody has to give something. And at the end of the month, there used to be a contest in the yeshiva. They would go around to all the classrooms, and whichever classroom collected the most money got some sort of, maybe a box of Barton's candy or something like that. Something that in those days was valuable to us, but now, I wouldn't work so hard for, Sedermans or whatever giving us macaroons. But in those days, to a kid, it had something valuable. Anyway, every month, our class would win. Because Rabbi Bitton would say, you gotta give. You have to break the stinginess. There was one kid in the class, he was a miser. He was really a kamsan. The guy was a frugal guy. I don't think it's because he didn't have money. He didn't know how to give. And every day when we told him to go to the guy, I don't have. Okay, one day you don't have. 2 days you don't have. 3 days, it never has. So Chaim David saw that this guy, he has, during the day his hands open. But when it comes to give you tzedakah, he gets arthritis all of a sudden. You know, his hand all of a sudden locks up. He doesn't open his hand. So what happened? Rabbi David Bitton did the following. He said, you know what? He said, I was going to say his name, I'm not going to say his name. You won't know him anyway. Rabbi David took a quarter out of his pocket and he said, here, I'm giving you the quarter, put it in the box. So he takes the quarter, he says, it's my quarter? Yeah, he puts it in his pocket. Wow-wee. Well, that was considered a fatal mistake that he made that day. Because Rabbi Bitton was also known for, you know, for beating the guys up. And I'm sure he still has some pain, some residual pain from that assault that took place at that moment. Chaim David, he came down on him so much. He said, Asha, Yakamsa, Yakila, he called him every name in the book. So there's some people that even if you give them the money, they'll just put it in the box. They're unable. So therefore, we're coming along and we're saying here that when a person gives the tzedakah, he's actually saving himself from two things. That Shem Hatach that I mentioned to you over here is not only the name of Parnassah, but that Shem Hatach is also the Shem of Parnassah. So you get two things when you're giving tzedakah. It's the best investment. Where could you make one investment that you get a return of life and wealth? That's the mitzvah of tzedakah. So if I would want to tell you to give tzedakah, what would I tell you? Open your hands. How do you say that in Hebrew? Like the pasuk says, Tiftach ad yadecha. Open your hands. Tiftach ad yadecha. That's the language of the text. Tiftach et yadecha. Now what's the last letter of tiftach? Het. What's the letter of et, the last letter? Taf. And what's the letter of yadecha? Chaf. So you see in the pasuk that talks about giving charity, it says tiftach et yadecha, which is the last letter, hatach. Whenever you're going to come in contact with charity and life, this code name, het taf chav, is going to reveal itself. So I hope I convinced you on the value of giving tzedakah. Now I'll tell you one more story, and then ladies, I must go and make preparations for Shabbat. And I'll congratulate you for a beautiful season that Baruch Hashem, you've kept this Friday class alive. As I said many times, I specifically make this class the most inconvenient time of the week. Because I know how difficult it is, because I know the reward is that much greater. Nobody's learning at this time. Everybody's, you know, preparing. So who's going to hold up deal? Who's going to hold up the town? So we're the only ones that are learning at this moment over here. So therefore, we accepted upon ourselves this task many years ago to learn on Friday afternoon, you know, in order to give protection to the town. So congratulations, you're doing it. The last thing I'll tell you is like this. Many years ago, I was on a trip somewhere and there was some Ashkenazim there. And I'm friendly with all of them. And we had a minyan over there of Sefer Adim, and he was praying with us, this Ashkenaz guy. And when we say the Kaddish, Yitkadal, Yitkadash, etc. So we say Yeheshel Amaraba Min Shemaya, Hayim Vesava, Yishua V'Nehama, Veshezava, Urfu'a, Ugula Usliha V'Kapara. And then everybody screams out, Verevah. That's the custom of the Syrians, Verevah. Now Verevah means that God should give us profit. So the Ashkenaz guy says, you Syrians, Verevah, you scream it out. Everything's about the money. To you, money's not important. Give me all your money then if you don't care about the money. Anyway. He said, well, you have to scream at Vereva. You have to scream at Vereva. That's all money. So I told him, if I can explain to you that this Reva is a deep kavanah, it's not just simple. we're answering whatever we have a deep intention in mind. Now, I didn't know what I was talking about, but I was praying to God that God should put something in my head quickly so I can defend our community against this naysayer, against this skeptic. So I said, God Almighty, don't embarrass me in front of this guy. Then I said, you know something, I'm going to teach you a lesson now in Kabbalah. He said, you're telling me that Vereba has to do with Kabbalah? I said, absolutely. I said, do you know the name of God of Parnassah? He didn't know it. So I told him about Hatach. I taught it to him. And he said, wow, that's unbelievable. What does that got to do with Vereba? Well, I said, you know, Hatach equals 428. It's simple math, it's three letters. Het is 8, Taf is 400, and Chaf is 20. He said, yes, so what? What's 428? I said, well, you know the word Vereba? Reva means one Reva. But if you say Vereva, it means Reva ve'od Reva. We want profit and more profit. You see, whenever you put a Vav in front of a word, it doubles it. How do I know that? When Yitzhak was blessing his son, Yaakov, it said, V'yitin lecha ha'inuhim. V'yitin. Rashi says, what does the V'yitin mean? Yitin v'yachzor v'yitin. That God should give and give him again. The Vav doubles it. I said, very nice. You see the word Reva? Reva is Resh, Vav, Het. Well, Resh is 200, Vav is 6, and Het is 8. The word Reva equals 214. But we don't say Reva, we say Vereva, which actually means Reva and Reva, which is 214 times 2, which is 428. So I said, you know that every time we say Vereva, we have in mind that God should give us, using the name Hatach, which is 428 Parnassah directly. He said, you're telling me every single one of these guys wearing shorts and moccasins, they have Kavanah. Of course they have Kavanah, because they're wearing moccasins without socks. He said, they don't know the Shemot. He said, I take it back. I didn't realize there's Kavanot over there. And I walked away, I brushed my eyebrow. I said, whoa, Hashem saved me. At least I'm able to defend the community. But it's not a bad Kavanah. Vereva, Reva, Reva. That's Inyan of 214 times 2, which is 428. The lesson for us is, eventually, in 120, everybody's hand remains opened. So the Torah comes along and says, open your hands now. Don't wait for later on that you have to open your hands. That's what it means, Ustakat Tatzil Mavet. Mavet twice. Mavet not only from the physical death, but Mavet from economic death as well. And my blessing to our great ladies of our great community that are involved in charity, that collect charity, that give charity, that God, using all the holy names that we mentioned, should shower upon all of you, beracha, like we say, ad beli dai, without any restrictions, without any limitations. And then, be'azat Hashem, the God that gives panasah, God only gives panasah to the living, so the panasah will give us also hayim tovim. I'll take this opportunity as well, because I might not see all of you, to wish you a teskud shanim rabbol, ne'imot v'tovot, and as we get into this high holiday season now, God willing, you'll be inscribed in all of the good books, the proper books of life and health and prosperity. Amen v'amen.